Let's turn to John chapter 15, starting with verse 9. Be fruitful. A continuation from last week. We have been walking with Yeshua through the book of John. We're now at the end of the life of the most important man who ever lived. That most important man is also the Messiah and the Son of God, and the one and only Savior of humanity, and alone able to rescue us from the real and deadly forces of Satan and the demons, sin and the sin nature, death and hell. It's Yeshua's last day on earth. It's a very special day. It's the beginning of Passover. It's the day Messiah will die a very special death as God's Passover lamb who takes away the sin of the world. That makes this day one of the most important days in history. Yeshua will eat a final meal, a Passover Seder, with his most important followers, the men he will entrust with his ongoing mission of world salvation. During the meal, Yeshua will give his disciples his final teachings. Then he will pray. Then he will be arrested, tried, tortured, crucified. Yeshua knew he was about to die. And he knew that he would be raised from the dead and then ascend to the right hand of God the Father in heaven. And he knew that his disciples would carry on his mission of world evangelism. They would need to be very closely connected to him in order to have fruitful, productive lives. They would continually need to draw divine strength and energy and life from him as a branch does from the vine it is attached to. To have fruitful lives, they would need to remain in Messiah's love. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, remain in my love. The Son of God has the same kind of love for us that God the Father has for him. Pure love, intense love, devoted love. Who would not want to continually experience the pure, intense, devoted, caring, beneficial love of the Son of God? Now and forever. Love that helps us. Love that elevates and enriches us. Love that protects us. Who would not want to experience continually the love of Messiah? Messiah tells us that it is possible to remain in his great love for us, which means it's also possible to unremain in his love. We must make sure that we remain in his love and we do not unremain in his love. And he tells us how to do that. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Obedience to the commands of Yeshua enable us to remain in his tremendous love. Think about it. If you have a child and you teach your child what is right, what is wrong, what to do, what not to do, the right way to live, to be a productive member of society, but your child disobeys you and becomes a career criminal and embarrasses you, his disobedience will affect the way you feel about your child and the way you relate to your child. You will look at him differently. You will relate to him differently. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as we feel and act differently toward a career criminal than we feel and act towards an upright citizen or saint, so does Yeshua. He loves those who obey him. They are faithful to his teachings, and he is able to accomplish so much more with them. And the opposite is true. Those who disobey his commands remove themselves from his love. They unremain themselves from his love. He knows he can accomplish nothing with them. They're disobedient. They're disloyal. Yeshua sees them differently, feels differently about them than he does those who are obedient and faithful. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. The Son was loved by the Father from all eternity. Of course, the Son was perfect, flawless, holy, glorious, majestic, which made him easy to love. But then the Son of God came to earth. But even on earth, he was still able to remain in his Father's love for him. How? By being obedient to his Father's command. The Father commanded the Son to always do what was right, and the Son never strayed from doing what was right. The Father commanded the Son to act according to the nature of the Father. His nature is holy and pure and righteous, and the Son never deviated from acting according to the holy, pure, righteous nature of God. It was obedience to the Father's commands that enabled the Son to remain in his Father's love. And in the same way, Yeshua commanded us what to believe, what not to believe, the values we are to choose, the way we are to live. Obedience to Messiah's commands keeps us in his love. Disobedience removes us from his love, unremains us from his love. Love which helps us, protects us, elevates us, enriches us, benefits us in so many ways. Why would anyone want to remove himself from Messiah's love? So be obedient to his commands, to his teachings, to his words. Yeshua had told them that he would die, but then rise from the dead and be the all-present living Lord, the ruler of heaven and earth, that they could be united to him by their faith in him, that they needed to remain in him by being obedient to him. And if they did that, they would produce fruit, a lot of fruit. They would be spiritually useful and productive. And a spiritually useful, productive life creates joy. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. Fruitful lives produce joy, happiness. Not a happiness that is dependent on circumstances, on things going well. Not a temporary happiness that comes and goes, but a quieter and deeper kind of happiness. A happiness not dependent on circumstances, A happiness that is full and complete and enduring. A happiness that is enjoyed by the Son of God himself and is able to be shared by the Son of God with his followers. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. You want to be happy? Really, truly happy? Be fruitful. And be loving. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Although we are to love everyone, we are to especially focus our love on the members of Messiah's community, on our fellow Christians and Messianic Jews. Love each other. And they were to love each other in the same way the Messiah loved them. Love each other as I have loved you. And how did Messiah love them? By helping them in practical ways and in spiritual ways. He cared for them. He protected them. He taught them. He spent time with them. Love each other as I have loved you. And he loved them with a sacrificial kind of love. And he loved them to the maximum degree possible. Greater love has no one than this: to lay down one's life for one's friends. There's various kinds of loves. There's love for things. For example, I love a salad with wishbone Italian salad dressing. It is one of my very favorite things on earth. I love a nice fresh salad with a lot of wishbone Italian salad dressing. Then there's love for people. There is romantic love between a man and a woman. There is familial love, the love between parent and child, husband and wife. There is brotherly love, affection shared by friends. The greatest kind of love is the kind of love that sacrifices itself for the one it loves. That's a noble kind of love. That's a pure kind of love. That's the kind of love Messiah has for us. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Be fruitful. Be loving. Be Messiah's friend by being obedient to his commands. You are my friends if you do what I command. Friendship is one of the greatest things you can have in life. Friendship is characterized by intimacy, by sharing of interests and concerns, by mutual support. Having a friend is one of the greatest things that life has to offer. And you only need a few friends. And most people really only have a few friends. On Facebook, you can friend people. A recent study by Robin Dunbar was recently released about those Facebook friends. The average Facebook user in the UK, where this study was conducted, had 150 Facebook friends. But those users would only reach out to four of them for support in an emotional crisis. So of those 150, only four were really responsive in a crisis. And those numbers hold up in life outside of Facebook. The average person only has several real friends. And you only need a few friends. Now think about this. The one who created the universe and everything in it, the one who became a man, who lived a perfect life, who died on the cross, who rose from the dead, and who is right now the all-powerful, all-wise Lord of heaven and earth, the eternal Son of God, he wants to be your friend. What an amazing thing that is, isn't it? You are my friends if you do what I command. Friendship needs to be cultivated. Friendship takes time. It takes effort. It takes attention. It needs nurturing. And our friendship with Yeshua requires these things: time, effort, attention, cultivation, nurturing. And our friendship with Yeshua requires something else: obedience to the commands of Yeshua. You are my friends if you do what I command. Again, Messiah's friendship is conditional. It is conditioned on obedience to the commands of Yeshua. Obedience to what? All 613 laws of the Sinai covenant? No. Obedience to Yeshua's commands, which is different. What are Yeshua's commands? Know God and serve God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Don't be materialistic, things-centered, money-centered. Love your neighbor as yourself. Have godly character, high ethics and morality. Be holy, be righteous. Tell a dying world the good news. Be an active participant in Messiah's community. These are Messiah's commands. If we obey his commands, we will remain his friends. If we do not obey his commands, we risk losing his friendship. And what a friendship to lose. You want Yeshua to be your friend and to consider you his friend? Know his teachings, his commands, his words, and live according to his commands, his teachings, his words. Messiah wanted his disciples to know that he was changing their status from servants to friends. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Faithful service over time can elevate a servant to friend. These disciples had been with Yeshua for years now. They had faithfully served the one they considered their master, their rabbi, their Lord. They had been faithful servants. They had proven that they were responsible, trustworthy. Now, Yeshua considered them to be friends, no longer servants. And one of the marks of friendship is sharing confidential things. Because your friend is loyal to you, you are able to share things with your friend that you would be foolish to share with someone else. Because they had been faithful servants and were now friends, Yeshua felt free to reveal to these men everything his Father had revealed to him. All the great truths the Father had given Yeshua, he shared with his disciples. He held nothing back. And they, in turn, shared those precious truths with us because we are their friends. And we are Yeshua's friends. God takes the initiative in our salvation, not us. Yeshua takes the initiative in our salvation, not us. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Those whom Yeshua chooses for salvation are given the responsibility to bear fruit, to produce results that will last. Right thinking, right belief, right actions, good character. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Those whom Yeshua chooses for salvation are given the responsibility to bear fruit, to produce good results that will last. Right thinking, right belief, right actions, good character. Those who are living spiritually productive lives will be able to pray effectively. I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Those who are living spiritually fruitful lives will know how to pray. How could it be otherwise? They are close to Yeshua. They remain in him. They remain in his love. They know him. They know what is important to him. They know what he wants. They know his values. They know his goals. They will be able to pray for the right things. Pray in Yeshua's name. Pray for the things Yeshua approves of. Pray for the things that Yeshua wants. Pray so that God the Father answers their prayers. I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Yeshua repeated his command that he had given them earlier. This is my command: love each other. Every word that Yeshua ever said was important. If he said something just once, and it's been written down and recorded for us, it is important. When he repeated something, it is especially important. It's very important that the sons and daughters of God form a loving fellowship in which they are committed to each other and help each other in practical and spiritual ways. This is my command: love each other. How can so-called Christians and Messianic Jews do that if they are not part of Messiah's local community? And to have a fruitful life, Messiah's disciples will need to endure persecution. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name. For they do not know the one who sent me. Messiah warned us to expect to be hated, persecuted, mistreated by the world. Why? The world does not know God. The world is far from God. The world is hostile to God. The world rejects the Son whom the Father sent. The world hates Yeshua. Because the world despises the Son, they also despise God. And since we are connected to the Son who is connected to the Father, the world will despise us and mistreat us. We should not expect to be treated any differently than Yeshua was treated by the majority of his generation. Messiah chose us and separated us from this corrupt world. We now belong to the Messiah. We no longer belong to the world. We share the Messiah's values. We share the Messiah's destiny. We no longer share the world's values or its destiny. And the world resents those who have rejected its values and are no longer part of it. Makes the world look bad. The world opposed Messiah and his teaching, and we represent Messiah, and we teach what he taught. Therefore, the world will oppose us and reject us and persecute us and reject our teaching. That is to be expected. So, a true disciple must be willing to go against the world. We must not follow after the crowd. We must not seek to be popular. We must be willing to be unpopular, to be part of a despised minority. We must be willing to stand out, to be different, to speak for Messiah and for his teaching, and endure persecution. If you are not being opposed by the world, persecuted in some way, mistreated in some way, it may be that you are still part of the world and you really do not belong to Messiah. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. To whom much is given, much is required. Those people who lived when Yeshua walked on earth were given much revelation. Yeshua clearly identified himself as the Messiah and as the Son of God, and he was full of great wisdom. And he lived in such a way and taught in such a way and did many miracles that proved he is who he claimed to be, the Messiah and the Son of God. Those people would not be guilty of the sin of rejecting the Messiah, which is a great sin, if he had not lived among them and spoke to them the way he did and did the miracles that he did. They would still be guilty of other sins, but not that great sin of rejecting the Son of God. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. And this principle applies to not just the Jewish people living in the first century in Israel. It applies to others. Anyone who has heard the good news about Yeshua and ignored it also has no excuse. And almost everyone in Western civilization has heard about Yeshua. The truth about him has permeated the culture for centuries and centuries and centuries. People in Western societies have no excuse. If they ignore Yeshua, they are guilty of a great sin. And we Jewish people have had the benefit of living in Western civilization, and we have heard about Yeshua, and we have no excuse. And in addition to hearing about Yeshua from the culture, we have Moses and the prophets. We have all the amazing messianic prophecies in the Bible, like Isaiah 53. So we too are without excuse if we ignore Yeshua. We are guilty of a great sin. Yeshua repeated that to reject him is to reject God. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. And the hatred directed to him by the majority of his generation was irrational. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law: they hated me without reason. Without reason. Yeshua was good, holy, righteous, sinless, flawless, perfect, full of divine wisdom and power and love. He was sent by God. He's the Messiah, Israel's true king, and the greatest prophet who brought us the precious words of God, the priest of a new covenant, bringing us closer to God and bringing God closer to us than ever before. Yeshua helped us, healed us, taught us, corrected us, blessed us, did tremendous miracles that no one else did. In spite of all this, the majority of his generation hated him. Their hatred was irrational. There was no reason for it. And they treated Yeshua just like the one described in Psalm 69, King David, our greatest king, who was hated by many of his generation. Without reason. They hated me without reason. Yeshua wanted his disciples to know that they needed to be fruitful. And they would be able to be fruitful because a helper will be sent to them. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you, from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Advocate means one who is called alongside of someone else, called alongside to help. Without the advocate, the Holy Spirit, Christians and Messianic Jews would be overpowered by a godless majority. If we were on our own, we would be intimidated into a cowardly silence. Messiah's mission of world evangelism would fail. Yeshua will not allow that to happen. So he promised to send the advocate who helps us, the advocate who is the Holy Spirit of God. And who can send the Spirit of God anywhere, direct the Spirit of God to do anything, except God himself? So if Yeshua is able to send the Holy Spirit, that lets us know that Yeshua is God. Note that the Father and the Son work together in the sending of the Spirit. The Son sends the Spirit, but it is the Spirit of the Father as well as the Spirit of the Son. The Father also sends the Spirit who is from the Father and who goes from the Father. The Spirit whom the Son sends from the Father comes to the disciples and gives them a greater understanding of who Yeshua is. And the Spirit helps them testify about Yeshua and his reality and his teaching. The Spirit helps them speak the truth about Yeshua. He helps them understand Yeshua and be convinced about Yeshua's reality and tell a hostile world about Yeshua. The Spirit helps them live for Yeshua. The Spirit helps them live fruitful lives. Does that describe you? Let's pray.